Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. You know, if you ever feel like your brain's just constantly juggling things, all the stuff you need to remember.
Oh, absolutely. That feeling of being completely bogged down.
Exactly. From paying the gas bill right up to planning those huge, complex work projects, it feels like constant background noise.
And that's pretty much the definition of cognitive overload, isn't it? It creates this sort of low-level perpetual anxiety.
Which is why today we're diving deep into what's really seen as the definitive answer to that problem. David Allen's, well, frankly, revolutionary productivity system, Getting Things Done, you'll often hear it called GTD.
Yeah, GTD. It's not just another to-do list method. It's aiming for something much deeper, this state of relaxed control.
Okay, so what's the big idea behind it? Because you're right, most of us do use our minds like a giant, messy filing cabinet, and it's, well, it's exhausting.
The core insight is actually pretty simple, but profound, David Allen says. Your mind is for having ideas, not holding them.
Having, not holding. Okay.
Exactly. Our brains are amazing at thinking, at being creative, but they're honestly terrible at reliably storing and recalling lists of tasks or appointments.
Right, like remembering to buy milk while you're trying to solve a complex problem at work doesn't work well.
It really doesn't. And when we try to force our brains to do that remembering, we create what Allen calls open loops.
Open loops. Those are the unfinished things, right? The tasks, the worries, the, oh, I need to remember too.
Precisely. They're unresolved commitments. And they create subconscious stress because, you know, your brain kind of rightly fears that if it doesn't keep pinging you about that dentist appointment, you might just forget it entirely.
Which feels completely true to life.
Yeah.
So our mission today is really to unpack this whole GTD methodology Allen built. It's a bottom-up approach.
Yeah, very much bottom-up. It's about creating an external system, something outside your head that you absolutely trust to capture everything. The ultimate goal is achieving what he famously calls mind like water.
Mind like water. I really like that phrase. It sounds so Then, but practical.
It is. It means being totally present and responsive. You know, like water, if something drops into it, it reacts appropriately and then settles back to calm. It doesn't stay turbulent because of mental clutter.
Okay, so who's the person behind this? David Allen. You mentioned he's a consultant and executive coach. What's his background? Is this academic theory?
That's the interesting part. No, not really academic. His authority comes from, well, over 30 years of really practical in the trenches work.
So hands-on experience.
Decades of it. He developed and refined GTD while coaching thousands of people, often very senior executives and managers in really demanding environments. Think places like Microsoft, the World Bank, the Ford Foundation.
Wow. So this system wasn't cooked up in a lab. It was forged in the fire of real-world complexity.
Exactly. He saw high-performing, intelligent people struggling, not because they lacked motivation, but because they lacked a coherent system for dealing with the sheer volume of, well, stuff coming at them.
Unstructured inputs, right. Emails, meeting notes, random ideas.
All of it. He realized the core issue wasn't really time management in the traditional sense, like just blocking out calendar time. It was more fundamental. It was attention management. How do you manage your focus when everything is vying for it?
So he's less about a specific tool like a planner or an app and more about the underlying principles.
That's the key. It's a framework, a set of principles for interacting with your commitments. That's why it's tool agnostic. You can use notebooks, software, whatever works for you, as long as you apply the core workflow.
Let's talk about the book itself then, Getting Things Done. It reads like a manual, doesn't it? Very practical.
Absolutely. It's designed to be a step-by-step guide to get you from that state of feeling overwhelmed, all those open loops buzzing around, to a place of calm and control.
And it seems especially relevant for knowledge workers, people dealing with lots of information and less structured tasks.
Definitely. The core promise is that if you build and maintain this external trusted system, your mind can finally relax and do what it does best, think, create, solve problems, instead of just trying to remember things.
Okay, so that external system is the heart of it. What's the actual structure? You mentioned five stages for mastering workflow.
Yes, the five stages are the engine of GTD. They provide the path for taking all that incoming stuff, emails, ideas, tasks, and turning it into clear, actionable items. They are capture, clarify, organize, reflect, and engage.
Capture, clarify, organize, reflect, engage. Got it. Let's break those down. Starting with capture. This sounds like the first critical step. getting it all out.
It is critical. This is the mind sweep. It means you have to collect everything that has your attention. Every single task, commitment, worry, idea, big or small, get it out of your head and into an in-basket.
An in-basket, like a physical tray.
Could be. Or a notebook, a specific email folder, a voice memo app, whatever is easy and always available. The key is, don't filter or analyze yet. Just capture ubiquitously.
So you separate the collecting from the deciding. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so your in-basket is now full of stuff. What's next? Let's clarify.
Right. Now you process each item in your in-basket one by one, and this is where the core decision-making happens. You have to ask two key questions for each item. First, what is it? And second, is it actionable?
Okay, what is it and is it actionable? What if the answer is no, it's not actionable?
Then you have three choices. If it's junk, trash it. If it's potentially useful information, file it as reference. If it's something you might want to do someday but not now, put it on a someday maybe list. Simple, clear paths. The loop is closed.
And that closes the loop, gets it off your mind. But what if it is actionable?
Ah, now that's where GTD really shows its power. If it's actionable, you must immediately decide, what is the very next physical action required to move this forward?
The next physical action, not just the project goal.
No, absolutely not. That's the common mistake. Not do taxes, but find last year's tax return file. Or not plan conference, but email Sarah to ask about potential dates. It has to be a concrete physical step.
That seems incredibly clarifying. It breaks down those big intimidating things.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've clarified the next action. Where does it go? That brings us to organize.
Yeah. Organizing is putting these clarified actions and project reminders where they belong. And the first filter here is Alan's famous 2-minute rule.
Ah, yes, the 2-minute rule. Heard of that one.
If the next action you just identified will take less than 2 minutes to complete, do it right then and there. Don't spend more time organizing it than actually doing it. Just get it done.
Brilliant. Clears out the small stuff instantly. But what if it takes longer than 2 minutes?
Then it needs to go onto a list, typically a next actions list. But here's a key GTD distinction. These lists are often best organized by context, not just priority.
Context, what does that mean? Like where you are?
Exactly. You might have lists like at computer, at errands, at home, at calls, or maybe at office. So when you're out running errands, you only need to look at your at errands list. It makes batching tasks super efficient.
That's clever. So you see relevant tasks based on where you are or what tools you have available. What about bigger things like that conference planning example?
If something requires more than one action step to complete, that's a project. You put the project title itself, a You Plan Annual Conference, on a master project list. This list acts as an index, reminding you that there are next actions related to it scattered across your context lists. The project list ensures nothing multi-step gets lost.
Okay, capture, clarify, organize. We've processed our stuff. What's stage four? Reflect. This sounds like maintenance.
It absolutely is, and it's arguably the linchpin of the whole system. Reflect primarily means doing the weekly review. Alan stresses this is non-negotiable if you want the system to work long-term.
The weekly review. So setting aside dedicated time each week just to look at your lists. Why is that so vital? People feel like they barely have time as it is.
Because it's how you maintain trust in your system. During a weekly review, you gather any loose papers, process your notes, review all your lists, update your project list, look at your calendar, and basically get clear, current, and complete again.
So it ensures everything is up to date and nothing's falling through the cracks.
Precisely. If you skip it, your lists get stale, new inputs pile up, unprocessed, and your brain starts to distrust the system. It thinks, maybe I do need to remember that thing after all. And boom, the open loops and stress come right back. The weekly review keeps the system reliable and your mind calm.
That makes total sense. Trust is everything. Okay, final stage. Engage. We've captured, clarified, organized, reflected. Now it's time to actually do things. How do we choose what to work on?
This isn't just about tackling the highest priority item first. GTD offers a more nuanced approach. The four criteria model for choosing your action in the moment.
Four criteria?
Yeah.
What are they?
When deciding what to do, you consider these four things in order. First, context, where are you? What tools do you have? Second, time available, do you have 5 minutes or 2 hours? Third, energy available, are you feeling sharp and focused or kind of drained?
Okay, context, time, energy, and the fourth.
Then fourth, you consider priority. What's the most important thing you can do given your current context, time, and energy? This model helps you make smart, realistic choices based on your actual situation right now, not just some abstract sense of importance.
That's a very practical way to decide. It acknowledges reality. Okay, so that's the five-stage workflow. Let's talk about some of the big underlying ideas or themes in GTD. That next action concept feels huge.
It really is. I'd say it's one of the most powerful tools against procrastination ever devised. Why? Because vague tasks like write report or plan vacation feel overwhelming. Your brain doesn't know the first step, so it freezes.
The inertia sets in.
Exactly. But when you force yourself to define that very next physical step, open Word doc and create outline for report, or Google flights to Italy, it suddenly feels manageable. It creates momentum.
It lowers the barrier to entry for getting started.
Completely. And it ties back to that core quote we mentioned. Your mind is for having ideas, not holding them. Defining the next action externalizes the what do I do now burden.
Another theme seems to be this bottom-up approach. A lot of goal-setting advice says start with your life vision. GTD seems to start with cleaning your desk.
Metaphorically, yes. Allen uses this model called the horizons of focus, ranging from ground-level tasks up to your 50,000-foot life purpose. His argument is that you can't effectively do that high-level strategic thinking if the ground level, your runway, is cluttered with undone tasks and worries.
So clear the daily chaos first, and that creates the mental space for bigger picture stuff.
Precisely. You free up cognitive bandwidth. It's hard to think about your five-year goals when you're subconsciously stressed about 30 unanswered emails and remembering to pick up the dry cleaning. Get the runway clear, then you can soar to higher altitudes.
Which leads directly to the importance of the trusted system. You've mentioned trust a few times. Why is 100% reliability so crucial?
Because if your brain suspects, even a little bit, that the system might let something slip, it won't fully let go. It'll keep holding on to things just in case.
Defeating the whole purpose.
Exactly. The system has to be comprehensive and absolutely reliable for your subconscious to finally relax its guard. It connects to another key quote. Anything that does not belong where it is, the way it is an open loop, which will be pulling on your attention if it's not managed.
That really defines that source of background stress, doesn't it? Whether it's physical clutter or mental clutter.
Yes. An unmade decision, an unfiled paper, an email needing a reply. They're all open loops pulling on your focus until they're processed through the system. Oh, and we can't forget the practical rule that helps close so many small loops.
The 2-minute rule.
Right. If it takes less than 2 minutes, then do it now. Such a simple but powerful heuristic for cutting through minor procrastination.
Okay, let's make this concrete. How can people apply this in real life? Let's start professionally, the dreaded email inbox.
Oh, GTD is a lifesaver for email. The key is to treat your inbox purely as an in-basket, not a storage system or a to-do list. Process it regularly, aiming for inbox zero if possible.
So apply the clarify step to each email?
Yes. Ask. Is it actionable? If yes, what's the next action? If it takes less than 2 minutes, like a quick reply, do it. If longer, add the next action to your at computer list or relevant context list and archive or file the email out of the inbox. If it's reference, file it. If it's trash, delete it.
So the inbox becomes a processing station, not a holding pen.
Exactly. It stops being a source of constant dread.
What about personal life applications?
The Someday Maybe list is fantastic for personal goals and dreams. You know, things like learn guitar, visit Japan, write a family history.
Things you want to do but don't have the bandwidth for right now.
Right. Capturing them on the Someday Maybe list honors the idea, gets it out of your head where it might cause guilt or stress, but without creating pressure to act immediately. You can review it during your weekly review and maybe pull something onto your active project list when the time is right.
That sounds really useful for managing those aspirational goals. So the overall effect of applying GTD professionally and personally seems to be more space.
More mental space, definitely, which often leads to enhanced creativity and better focus. When your brain isn't constantly occupied with remembering mundane tasks, it's free to do more interesting things.
Thinking back on everything, what's something that surprised you or a key final thought about GTD? For me, it's that paradox. How imposing this detailed structure, this systematic control, actually leads to more freedom and spontaneity.
That's a great point. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? But when you have absolute trust that your system is handling all your commitments, you gain this incredible presence. You can fully engage with whatever is happening right now, whether it's an unexpected conversation, a sudden creative idea, or just enjoying a quiet moment because you know nothing important is being dropped.
That freedom to be fully present, that feels like the real prize. So for you, what's the ultimate insight a listener should take away from our deep dive into GTD?
I think it's that achieving this state of mind like water, this relaxed control, isn't just about managing time better. It's really a practice of managing your thought and your action. It's about how you engage with your commitments. And the lasting value isn't just getting more done, although that usually happens. It's the profound psychological relief that comes from getting all those commitments out of your head and into a system you trust.
So it's a shift from being constantly reactive and feeling overwhelmed to being more proactive, focused, and ultimately more present in your own life. By handling the small stuff reliably, you free yourself up for the big stuff.
That's the essence of it. It's a fundamental change in how you operate in the world.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.